promise, Ryan.
The Sticky went to a ramshackle cupboard in the corner of the little room, reached in, and withdrew an earthenware jug. She brought it to her lips and took a long, noisy swig.
Pulque. Maybe I ought to give you some. Keep that pecker of yours up. Though this time it won't be your pecker that sends me to the top and back, will it?
Marcy carried the jug back to the bed and straddled Ryan, her knees spread wide to show him the glistening, moist lips of her sex. She nearly drained the jug of fiery liquor and kept smiling at him, leaning down and kissing him on the cheeks and mouth, nipping him with her needle-sharp teeth, pushing her tongue into his mouth. Now she had a knife in her hand. The weapon had a wooden shaft, the blade set in at a clumsy angle, and was bound around with frayed cord. The point had been broken and badly resharpened, but the edge looked to be well honed. Marcy reached behind her and touched the cold steel against Ryan's groin, giggling at the way his scrotum shrank against the contact. He closed his eye and took a slow, long breath, managing just to keep control over himself. She shuffled a little higher toward his head, giving him a coy smile.
Peeking at a lady, one eye. Not if you want to keep the family jewels.
The rope around Ryan's neck was taut, keeping his head immobile. Marcy edged a little farther up his body, her breasts quivering with barely contained excitement, nipples standing out like desiccated cherry stones. Ryan felt bile rising from the depths of his stomach, swelling toward his chest and throat. If the repulsive Sticky carried out her threat and forced him to pleasure her with his tongue, Ryan was certain that he would vomit. Violently. Then Marcy would use her knife on him, and he'd be dead. But at that second, Ryan didn't find that option too appalling.
Now, say ah.
The powerful, sticky woman above Ryan rose halfway up, the big muscles along the inside of her thighs fluttering. And then she came down, sideways, toppling off him. The knife fell to the floor with a fragile, tinkling sound. Ryan blinked, seeing Marcy down on hands and knees, her face only a hand span from his.
Not fucking fair. Ugh.
Ryan glanced from the bullet wound in the center of her naked back, up to the murderous figure that stood poised in the doorway, holding the sacking curtain to one side. There was a filthy M16 in the right hand, pointing toward Ryan. The man wore a shapeless coat over torn and muddied pants. His right hand was missing a couple of fingers, and the left hand seemed to have no fingers at all, just raw stumps. His face was blank, lacking any expression. His mouth had slipped sideways, as though something had eaten away a part of it. The man's nose was missing, revealing a cavernous, snuffling hole. Ryan had encountered groups of lepers before. Mostly, they had the reputation of being untrustworthy and violent outlanders.
Sorry to spoil your fun.
You're not a Sticky. You saved me.
But Ryan realized that the leper wasn't listening to him. He had decided to kill Ryan, and that was that. Nothing would stop him. Nothing except the musket ball that smashed into the back of his skull. The corpse dropped to the floor alongside Marcy, twitched for a moment, and then lay still. Ryan waited, shifting his position so that the rope around his neck was less painful. But no one else appeared. Outside, there was shouting and a fusillade of firing, sounding like it came from a variety of weapons. Ryan took a few moments to steady his breathing, hardly able to believe that his life had been saved twice in less than 10 seconds. If Marcy had decided to tie his ankles to the bed, he'd have been utterly helpless. As it was, he could wriggle on his back, careful with the noose around his throat, slide his legs over the edge of the straw mattress, and fumble with his toes for the dropped knife. The Sticky's hand was on top of it, but again luck smiled on Ryan. The suckered fingers hadn't closed on the hilt in her death spasm. He was able to kick Marcy's wrist out of the way and pick up the clumsy blade. Then it was some struggling contortions to bring it onto the bed and lay it where his tight hands could reach it. Ryan was deftly aware of the noise outside, indicating that a large force of lepers was attacking the sleeping camp, and that at any moment one might choose to burst into the lighted room and shoot him down. The steel cut through the thongs. Ryan could feel a trickle of warm blood over his wrist, but he was nearly free. It only took a moment then to slice the hemp apart and tug the loop from his neck. He swung his legs to the floor and reached for the M16. First thing was to take the torch and bring it against the bloodied stone floor, bringing a measure of safety with the swooping darkness. Ryan hesitated before pulling on his pants, aware of the cloying stickiness around his groin. He grabbed the sticky shirt and quickly wiped himself with it. 10 seconds later, he was fully dressed, the carbine in his hands, ready to go. A sudden burst of flame somewhere to his left illuminated the whole area, and he saw a number of struggling figures scurrying like disturbed ants. He also spotted a number of bodies draped around the central part of the encampment. Ryan licked his lips, grimacing with disgust as he realized that he could still taste Marcy on his tongue. He turned back from the doorway and picked up the cool earthenware jug of pulque. Taking a mouthful, he swilled it around his mouth and spat it at the two tangled corpses. Then Ryan took a swallow on the powerful liquor, feeling it ice its way down his gullet, then turned to flame as it reached his stomach. He pushed the sacking drapery aside and stepped cautiously into the vicious maelstrom of close fighting. Keeping in the shadows that lay deepest under the overhang of dark rock, Ryan picked his way along the narrow alleys between the old ruined houses. The blaster he'd taken from the dead leper was in appalling condition, looking as though it had been used to hew coal and then to stir fish stew in a filthy cauldron. He'd also stuck Marcy's knife into his belt as backup. Hearing someone running toward him, he'd backed into a storeroom filled with crates of dried fruit. From a tiny rectangular window, Ryan was able to look out over the main part of the ancient Anasazi Mesa Township. The lepers seemed to have gained a hold on the side of the camp nearest to the river, doubtless infiltrating down the flank of the ravine, then gathering for a concerted attack, sweeping out the early morning blackness. The Stickies were fighting back in scattered pockets, but there didn't seem to be much pattern to their efforts. There was no sign of Charlie. Ryan peered through the smoky gloom to where the rest of the prisoners were being held. Several kivas were aligned through one side of the main plaza area of the site, but Christie and the others were in the most distant. From where Ryan was hiding, it was impossible to see whether the sentries were still there.
See a chance, you take a chance.
The trader's old saying was rarely wrong. Either the lepers would overwhelm the defending Stickies and take over the camp, or the muties would hold them off and drive them back into the surrounding wilderness. Whatever way it went, Christy, Abe, Dorina, Helga, Harold, Bob, and Joe Bob all faced a severely restricted future. As Ryan dodged closer to the row of kivas, a figure loomed at him from a narrow entrance, brandishing a long cleaver. The M16 kicked against his hip as he pulled the trigger. It was all over so quickly that Ryan never even had time to learn whether it had been a Sticky or a leper. Not that it made any difference. The metal grill was totally unguarded. Ryan paused, glancing around, watching for any movement among the ruins. But everyone seemed completely involved in the fighting. It began to seem as if the defenders might be winning. A ball whined off the cliff a yard above Ryan, showering him in fine dust. There was no way of knowing whether it had just been a stray round or whether someone was trying to get him fixed in the crosshairs of his musket. Ryan dropped to a crouch and jinked to the kiva, kneeling and calling through the bars.
Everyone okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you're here, the saints bless you, Ryan.
What's going on?
The lepers are attacking. It's a big firefight. I'll get you out.
The bolts had been greased with what smelled like rancid cooking oil. They slid back easily enough, and Ryan was able to heave the heavy iron cover out of the way. Helga climbed out, hefted up by Abe. The rest jostling after her. Christy was last, taking Ryan's hand, giving him a quick kiss on the cheek.
Thought you were gone.
Me too. Could we get us some blasters? Want to try and get the ones we had when they took us. Christy had a Smith & Wesson. I had a handgun and a rifle. Plus some knives.
They'll be where Charlie lives. They took all the blasters there.
Same place they took me for their fun. Follow me.
They picked their way back toward the center of the action. Ryan was second, following the skinny young woman, his carbine ready. the others trailing along behind them. Thick smoke drifted across the camp, making visibility difficult, and it had begun to rain again. The first burst of fire from Charlie Zuzi cut down Helga and Bob.